Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom everyone. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministry. I want to welcome you to our program. We look at world events in light of biblical prophecy and the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the rapture. Folks, it is great to be here with you. I am coming to you live from Broadcast Central here in Lincoln, Rhode Island. And folks, after being on the road for almost 3 months, avoiding all of that crazy winter weather up here in the north, it's great to be back home, great to be back in my own bed, and it's great to come to you live from Lincoln, Rhode Island. And folks, last week I preached a four-day Bible prophecy conference at the Center Conway Baptist Church in Center Conway, New Hampshire. Brother Eric Ness is the pastor, and we had a wonderful time with him and his people. On the nights of the conference, we were with them all day Sunday, doing Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. For Monday and Tuesday night, we had other pastors, other men of God, who came out to join us for the conference. And folks, I am telling you, it was a wonderful, wonderful time as we opened up God's prophetic word and looked at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. And folks, what the Bible says will happen as we wait for the next prophetic event on God's calendar that we call the rapture of the church. So I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to the broadcast today. Now, tomorrow, April the 12th, I will be preaching in Bellingham, Massachusetts at the First Baptist Church. That church is pastored by a good friend of mine, Brother Baron Rodericks. Him and I go way, way back from our early days in New Bedford, Massachusetts. Baron is the overseer of that church, pastors that church, and we're looking forward to being with him and his people for the Sunday morning service only. So, folks, if you live anywhere in Bellingham, Massachusetts, or maybe over the border in neighboring Rhode Island, please come on out. Join me tomorrow morning at First Baptist Church. And that will be at 9:45 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. tomorrow morning, First Baptist Church, Bellingham, Massachusetts. I will be speaking during the Sunday school and the Sunday morning service. Excuse me, folks, got a little frog in my throat today. But, folks, I'll tell you, all we've been doing is traveling. And so, you know, the Lord's really opened up a lot of doors. But, you know, being in New Hampshire the past 4 days, of course, we got like 3 inches of snow out there. So even though I got away from the winter weather for the past 3 months, just could not escape the snow coming back up north, especially in New Hampshire. But I remember it was on a Tuesday night, this past Tuesday, I walked into a convenience store in New Hampshire, in Center Conway. Walked inside, there was a young lady named Sarah who was a clerk in the store. Went and I purchased me a Diet Mountain Dew drink. And I gave her a gospel tract. It was a chick tract entitled, "This Is Your Life." I love passing those out to people. I invited Sarah to come to church for the prophecy conference. She said that she had to work on Monday, Tuesday, but she has Wednesday off. And folks, on that Wednesday, before I even got there, she was already there at the church. And she listened to the message. Well, on our way home Monday, she sent me a Facebook telling me about the issues that she's going through right now. I asked her to give me a call. And folks, she called me, and I had the opportunity over the phone while driving back to Rhode Island from New Hampshire. I had an opportunity to share the gospel with Sarah, and Sarah gloriously got saved. I just learned from the people at the church that I preached at back in New Hampshire that she was there for the women's fellowship, and she plans on being there Sunday. She's going to be getting baptized. And folks, that's what this is all about. That's what this Bible prophecy ministry is all about. And you know, folks, it's really unfortunate in this day and age today that there are a lot of prophecy teachers out there that give no emphasis on women's souls. They give no emphasis on sharing the gospel. They give no emphasis on soul winning or even holy living, for that matter. That's the reason why I've turned down a lot of these conferences and I refuse to speak with any of these guys. It's simply because of that. I have a passion and I have a burden to want to win souls, to share the gospel, even if it means I just pass out a gospel tract to somebody and never see them again. At least they've got the word of God on their hand, and they would have to make that decision to either act on that or do nothing about it and one day stand before God and be without excuse. And so, folks, I had another prophecy guy send me an email because I simply said that I won't do joint prophecy tours with other prophecy teachers because of issues. And on my tours, I'm going to be the only prophecy teacher and speaker. Well, this one prophecy guy sent me an email and said, "Were you referring to me?" And even pasted my quote from my newsletter, and then abruptly ended his email with just simply signing his name. And folks, I say things like this not to offend anybody, but I'm just so tired of what I see going on in the church today, and I'm so tired of seeing what's going on, especially among a lot of prophecy teachers today, where there's just no emphasis on winning souls, no emphasis on the gospel of Christ. And when it comes to these prophecy conferences, one guy is just looking out to the other or say, "I'm a better preacher. I give more information. My PowerPoint's better than yours." And folks, I just simply have no time for that nonsense. And it reminds me of Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, where Paul says, "Some preach Christ out of envy and strife. Others of goodwill." You know, their motives are proper. "And others of contention." And the majority of the time, that's what I see at these prophecy conferences. And so if I do a prophecy conference, I'm going to be the only one speaking because I don't want to compete with anybody else. And that's what it's like a competition at these conferences. And so I'm either going to be the only speaker or I won't be going to any conferences where there are going to be other speakers there. And folks, time is of the essence. Souls are at stake. People are dying every single day. You don't believe me? Grab a newspaper, look in the obituaries. And according to Isaiah 5:14, hell enlarges itself every single day. People are dying and going to hell every single day. They die in their sins because nobody has taken the time, especially Christians, to get out there and share the gospel with somebody. And folks, God's going to hold us responsible. Before we get into our subject today on Zechariah's Holocaust, if you would like to send me a question for today's show, if you are a Facebook friend of mine, then type your question on the comments box on my Facebook page, simply August Rosado. If you don't have me as a Facebook friend, then send me a friend request, simply August Rosado, right there on to receive our Bible prophecy newsletters that go up every single week. Go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Type in your email address right in the sign-in box, and you'll start receiving our newsletters. They go out every single week. And folks, don't forget, we're already making preparations, Lord willing, for next year for our Bible prophecy tour to Israel. I would love to have you join us on this Bible prophecy trip of a lifetime with an option to Petra. We had a wonderful time in Petra, and I enjoyed teaching Bible prophecy on location right there in the Rose colored city, the impregnable city, one of the seven wonders of the world. And that was the place where Esau and the Edomites once dwelt. That will be the place where God will shelter the Jewish people for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. I'll talk a little bit about that on today's broadcast. But if you would like to join us in Israel, Lord willing, next year, 2016, probably we'll be leaving late February, going into early March, then we'd love to have you join us on this tour. If you would like to come, if you have more questions, send me an email, august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. Just let me know that you're looking for information when the brochures are ready, and we can send that to you. You can either give us your physical address or the email address, and we can send you the attachment when the brochures are ready. So we'd love to have you join us in Israel next year. As a matter of fact, Lord willing, next month I'll be leaving for Israel. A church has invited me to come to teach Bible prophecy on location there. And so we will be going to the Holy Land next month with a church in Pennsylvania. And then in June, I'll be leaving for Israel again for 18 days with a good friend of mine, Dr. Todd Baker, who is a theologian for Zola Levitt Ministries. Him and I are going out to Israel for 18 days in June simply to share the gospel, folks. No sightseeing, no touring. Share the gospel and pass out Bibles to the Jewish people. So please pray for next month, Lord willing, May and June, when I'll be in Israel once again. And you can join me in Israel. I'll be your personal host and Bible prophecy teacher right there in Israel, Lord willing, in 2016. And we would love to have you join us. What I want to do right now is get into the subject for the day. And I want to talk about Zechariah's Holocaust. Now, folks, a recent poll was conducted in Israel that shows that 80% of Israelis believe that the Holocaust would fade from the memory of people. On April 15th, next week, will be the Holocaust Remembrance Day. It's known in Hebrew as Yom HaShoah, the Day of Remembrance. Now, we know, folks, during World War II, Adolf Hitler and the Nazis put to death 6 million Jews simply because they were Jews. During Yom HaShoah in Israel, an alarm sounds throughout the entire country, and the entire nation comes to a standstill. Cars on the highways pull over for miles. People in the malls and streets just simply freeze. During this recent poll in Israel, Israelis fear not only will people forget the Holocaust, but even fear that another Holocaust could happen down the road. Now, folks, there are 14 countries who have laws that make denying the Holocaust illegal. It's punishable by jail time. This would be Austria, Belgium, the Czech Republic, France, Germany, Hungary, Israel, Liechtenstein, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Poland, Portugal, Romania, and Switzerland. 14 countries that make denying the Holocaust illegal. If you just simply said, I don't believe the Holocaust happened, well, out there, there's no freedom of speech. You go to jail for that, for denying that the Holocaust happened. But there are 220 countries where Holocaust denial is legal. One of them, of course, here in the United States. Iran is the biggest Holocaust-denying country in the world, even having an annual Holocaust-denying contest where contestants draw comments denying the Holocaust, and the winner receives a big cash prize. Folks, when American and Allied forces liberated the Nazi camps in World War II, Eisenhower and Allied forces were horrified at what they saw. When American and Allied troops came on the scene, they were completely disgusted at what they saw. This is what Eisenhower said in this statement. He said, take as many pictures as you can, because someday someone will come, some blankety blank blank will say, this never happened. And folks, you got those today that are doing exactly that. They're saying the Holocaust never happened. And again, Iran is the biggest Holocaust denying Islamic state out there today. And yet, folks, Bible prophecy tells us that in the future, another Holocaust will be on the horizon, not only for the Jewish people, but the entire world, for that matter. When young Jewish men are inducted into the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, they swear allegiance to the State of Israel at a ceremony at the Jewish fortress of Masada. We take our tour groups to Masada every single year. And it was there in 73 AD that the Jews held out against the Romans during a three-year siege. When the Romans breached the walls of Masada, they found that over 900 Jews took their own lives rather than becoming slaves of the Romans. There is a saying in Hebrew by the Jewish soldiers at Masada before they begin their service, and it says this in Hebrew, Matsada shinot lo tifol. Masada will never fall again. In other words, by your defense of the State of Israel, Israel will never fall again. Even when I bought my IDF jacket when I was just in Israel a month ago, right on it says this, Tzava Hagana La Israel, Army of the Defense of Israel. But folks, we see that in biblical times, Satan has tried to work through empires and individuals to try to wipe out the Jewish people. People like Amalek, Esau's grandson, who was at war with Israel in Exodus 17. He wanted to wipe out Jews. Haman in the book of Esther, who made gallows throughout the entire Persian Empire, to hang every single Jew in every single province. He wanted to wipe out Jews. Satan worked through Herod the Great, who butchered every male Jewish boy from 2 years old and under, trying to kill the newborn son of God, the Messiah of Israel. He failed. And yet in the future, you will have other nations out there and other individuals who will try to do exactly that. And yet, folks, in the book of Revelation, God will pour out 21 judgments on the earth, 7 seal judgments, followed by 7 trumpet judgments, followed by 7 vial or bowl judgments, 21 judgments in all. The opening of the sealed judgments by the Lord Jesus himself will result in 1/4 of the world's population dying. And folks, we find this in Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 8. And I looked and behold a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, that's one-fourth of humanity, to kill with sword and with hunger and with the beasts of the earth. So in Revelation 6:8 it says, the fourth seal is open, and this pale horse rides. And the one who rides him, his name is death. And he has a fellow rider with him. His name is hell. Hell followed with him. Death takes lives, and hell holds them for judgment. One-fourth of humanity is put to death by the seal judgments. Folks, that is one with a B, billion people. When we get to the trumpet judgments, in the trumpet judgment we find in Revelation chapter 9 in verse number 18, it says this, by these three was a third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouth. By these three, we're talking about the demonic horse riders. We're talking about the demonic locusts, the four bound angels in the river Euphrates, that 200 million man army. By these three was a third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. So not only does Revelation 6:8 tell us that one-fourth of humanity is destroyed, but now Revelation 9:18 tells us of number one-third of humanity is destroyed. Folks, that's another 1.5 billion are killed. And we have not even gotten to the vial or the bowl judgments that will bring more catastrophe upon mankind. We also find, folks, in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, the tribulation martyrs who were killed by the Antichrist because of their refusal to worship the beast. We find that in Revelation chapter 6, and verses 9 through 11. And this is when Jesus opens the fifth seal. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them, that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. So we see that when Jesus Christ opens the fifth seal, we see the martyrdom, tribulation saints. There could be thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of them slain during the tribulation period. But we also find in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 4 that these tribulation saints or martyrs were killed because they refused to take the mark of the beast. We find in Revelation chapter 20 verse 4, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Far as Israel is concerned, the Jewish prophet Zechariah speaks of a second Jewish Holocaust. In Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, Zechariah, who mentions Jerusalem some 41 times in his book, has a lot to say about the second coming of Jesus, and he has a lot to say about this upcoming second Jewish Holocaust. He says in Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people." And then notice the reciprocation of the Jews. "And they shall say, the Lord is my..." So Zechariah says, two-thirds of the Jewish people will lose their lives at the hand of this future world dictator, this man of sin, this little horn, this son of perdition, this worthless shepherd, this beast, or 1 John 2:18, the Antichrist. He goes by 27 different names in the Bible. When I preached at a church in Mississippi recently at a prophecy conference, the pastor got up and said, "You know, Brother Rosado, I don't know who the Antichrist is, but I believe he woke up and took a shave this morning. This man is alive and well on planet Earth today, waiting to come on the world stage to take control of a future revived Roman Empire." There are at least 13 million Jews worldwide today. You have roughly about 5.5 million Jews living in Israel. You have more Jews living outside the land of Israel than you do within the land of Israel. Now, two-thirds of the Jews in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8, would be about 7.5 million Jews that will lose their lives in the future at the hands of the Antichrist. About 7.5 to 8 million Jews in the future that will lose their lives in the tribulation period. That is about 2 million more than the Holocaust folks of World War II. But the good news in verse 9 says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God." So the good news is Zechariah in 13:9 says that one-third of the Jews will survive this Holocaust by the Antichrist, and will flee the beast, as Jesus said will happen in Matthew 24:16, when he desecrates that Jewish temple, that third rebuilt Jewish temple, in Matthew 24:15, described by the Lord Jesus as the abomination of desolation. Then Jesus says in Matthew 24:16, "Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains." They will flee to their very life. One-third will be about 4.5 to about 5 million Jews who will survive and will flee to the mountains. God has designated an area for them where they're going to flee. And I was there for the very first time on this last prophecy tour to Israel. God will shelter the remaining one-third of the Jewish people at a place called Petra, located in southern Jordan today. The Jewish prophet Isaiah and the Jewish apostle John in the book of Revelation talk about God sheltering the Jewish people for the last 42 months, the tribulation period. Now, I'm going to break here for a moment. And what I want to do right now, and then we'll continue the remainder of this study of this subject. But I have a question from Joe, who is from Oklahoma And Joe, in the fall, we'll be heading down Oklahoma. And Joe has been a friend of our ministries for a few years now. And he always is asking prophecy questions, and we really appreciate Joe. Joe's question is this. He said, August, what's your thoughts on the countries in the Middle East coming together as one force? And then the second question is, ISIS marching towards Damascus now, maybe the beginning of Isaiah 17 and verse number 1. So let me just say this for the sake of time, because you also have another question there. We know based on Ezekiel 38, 39, Joe, Psalm 83, and Daniel 11, 40 through 45, it talks about the Arab nations coming down on the state of Israel. And we know that these Arab nations will be destroyed. As a matter of fact, Ezekiel chapter 38, God says, I will turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee. In other words, five out of every six Arabs are going to be destroyed when they come up against the Jewish state of Israel. We know based on Ezekiel 38:39, Russia and her Arab allies, including Iran, will be destroyed. We also know Psalm 83, all those Arab nations who don't share a border with Israel will also be destroyed. And we know based on Daniel 11:40-45, the king of the north and the king of the south will be destroyed. The king of the north will be Syria, and Joel, you mentioned Damascus. The king of the north will be Syria on Israel's northeast border, and the king of the south will be Egypt on Israel's south border. These two Arab nations will be destroyed. As far as ISIS marching toward Damascus now, the beginning of Isaiah 17:1, I don't think ISIS marching toward Damascus will be a fulfillment of Isaiah 17:1, because Syria will be destroyed when they make their move against Israel, according to Daniel chapter 11, and verse number 40. When that happens, not only will Syria be destroyed, but their capital, Damascus, will be a ruinous heap. I look at people like ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, Al-Aqsa Brigades, Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda, all these terrorist organizations. These guys are nothing more than splinter groups from these Arab nations that will come against the state of Israel. No doubt they'll probably end up joining those invasions, but they're all going to be wiped out by the Lord Jesus Christ at his second coming. Also, I heard about this Alex Sipiris guy in Greece. Joe, don't read too much into that, and because we don't know who the Antichrist is going to be. The Bible never tells us. Folks, sorry about that. We lost a connection there, and so I apologize for that. Don't know how in the world that happened. But getting back to Joe's question, I really wouldn't put any thought on this Alex Sipiris, or however you pronounce his last name. I really wouldn't put a lot of whole stock into that, Joe, just like I really don't put a whole lot of stock into these blood moons. I don't put a whole lot of stock into this Alex guy. And, you know, we don't know who the Antichrist is going to be, and I don't think we should, you know, focus a lot of our time on stuff like this. We should be focusing on studying the prophetic word of God and winning precious Jewish souls in this last days, and study the things that we do know about and not the things that we really don't know about. So that would be my answer to that, Joe. I appreciate you, buddy. You're a good friend. I'm really hoping to see you when we're in Oklahoma. This fall, we'd love to come and preach at your church, buddy. So, folks, getting back to this study here, God will shelter the Jewish people for the last 42 months, the tribulation period. We find in Isaiah chapter 16, verses 1 and 4, Isaiah 26:20, and Isaiah chapter 63, verses 1 through 6, as well as Revelation chapter 12, verses 6 and 14, that God will protect the Jewish people when they flee the beast. one-third of those Jews, 4.5, roughly 5 million, will be held up at Petra, where God will defend and nourish them for the last 3.5 years. Today we live in a world full of madmen, filled with sin for the Jews and even the church. Again, you know, Joe, look at what ISIS is doing today. They're looking to wipe out all traces of Christianity. And those who get in their way, even if they're fellow Arabs, and establish a global caliphate, a global Islamic kingdom, because they also have an eschatology. They believe that their Muslim Messiah is coming. And in order for him to come and establish his headquarters in Jerusalem, that you must eliminate the Jews from off the face of the earth. That's what these Arab nations want to do today. The Arab world today wants to see Israel wiped off the map, especially Iran, who not only denies the Holocaust, but wants to see Israel gone forever. We even see hostility toward the church today, even in our own country, where Bible-believing Christians are under attack because we speak out against sodomy and homosexuality, and we're having our voice being taken away. You say, well, August, that was a lot of bad news. But what about the good news? The good news, folks, is that Jesus the Messiah will come back, and he will put an end to this madness. Jesus said in Matthew 24:22, that except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. In other words, if Jesus Christ did not come back by the space of 3.5 years, at the end of that tribulation period, no life on earth would be left at tribulation's end. You would have no life on earth whatsoever, none at all, no one to occupy the millennial kingdom. There will be so much carnage during the tribulation period with the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven vial or bowl judgments. One-fourth of humanity is put to death in the seal judgments. One-third of humanity is put to death in the trumpet judgments. Close to 4 billion people. It's a lot of people, folks. Jesus, the Messiah, will one day take control of the nations of the world. He will one day rule them with a rod of iron. That's what we find in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 5. It sort of fast forwards into the future. Actually, fast forward into the millennial kingdom. That's what you find in the book of Revelation. You'll find either flashbacks or flash forwards. And one of them right here is in Revelation 12:5. And she brought forth a man-child, that was a past, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now we fast forward into the future. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. So Jesus Christ will one day rule all these nations, folks, with a rod of iron. He will put an end to madmen, dictators, and despots. He will one day return at his second coming, and the nations will seek to make war with him. The beast and the false prophet will seek to make war with him in Revelation 19:19-20, but they'll be cast into a lake of fire. And then, of course, in Revelation 17:14, it says, "These shall make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of." And then we find in Revelation 19:16, upon his vesture and upon his thigh was a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will one day be victorious. Before all this comes to pass, ladies and gentlemen, the next prophetic event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. That could happen at any moment and any time. There are no signs that precede the rapture. There are no signs. Nothing has to be fulfilled in order for the rapture to take place. With Yom HaShoah ready to be observed next week, Holocaust Remembrance Day in Israel reminds us, folks, that Bible prophecy will indeed, and the Lord Jesus Christ is about to return. Folks, we are living in some exciting times today. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today's the day of salvation. Take advantage of it because tomorrow could be too late. There is a real heaven to gain and a real hell to avoid. If you're not saved, you are either one heartbeat away from going to hell or you're one trumpet sound away from being left behind at the rapture, go through that terrible tribulation period to come. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, it's so simple to be saved. It's as simple as A, B, C. A, all of us are sinners, deserving of God's judgment, deserving of his wrath, and deserving of hell forever. But B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And of course, C, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must repent of your sins. Repentance means change of heart, change of mind, change of attitude. And you must turn from that sin and acknowledge your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. You can do that by praying something like this. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. You died on the cross for my sins. You shed your precious blood for me. I repent of my sins today. I turn from my sin. I turn from my wickedness. And I acknowledge my sins to you. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins. I now receive you as my Lord and personal Savior. For saving my soul today. And I want to be ready for either death or the next prophetic event in your calendar, the rapture. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me today. You made my prayer. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. Send me an email, august.todayinbiblepropheci@gmail.com. Let me know you prayed that prayer. I want to rejoice with you. I want to send you some literature in the mail. And I want to direct you to a good local Bible-believing gospel preaching church in your area where you can grow in God's grace and fellowship with other godly believers. And folks, again, if you want to read our newsletters, again, go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org, sign up for the newsletters. Don't forget, tomorrow, April the 12th, I'll be preaching at First Baptist Church in Bellingham, Massachusetts. 9:45 and 10:45 a.m. We would love to have you there. I would love to meet you. And again, if you want to come with me to Israel, Lord willing, next year, 2016, again, send me an email saying that you want more information when the brochures are ready to go. Now, folks, I hope to see you, Lord willing, next week. This is August Nazar for Today's Bible Prophecy Ministry saying, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon, and it could be today. Shalom. Praise be to Jerusalem.